Well, hello, radio friends, and again I greet you in the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk introducing you to another broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel radio program. As most of you know, this program is a non-denominational broadcast of what is often referred to as old-fashioned gospel preaching. You know, I think it's unfortunate that preaching the gospel of God's grace should be referred to as old-fashioned. But the fact remains that it is. Not too many pastors today preach the fact that man is born in sin and chastened in iniquity. They don't very often tell their congregations that they have to repent of their sins and to be born again by the Spirit and Word of God if they expect to be in heaven. And friends, you know as well as I do that very few preachers and priests speak about the judgment of God which awaits those who die without accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, in any case, this program of straightforward gospel preaching may not be too popular. But friend, I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here to tell it like it is. And thank God He's the only one I have to please. Let's open the broadcast today with an old-fashioned hymn, and it's entitled, In the Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we shall see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet
told us that the eternity that lies ahead for the Christian is going to be sweet. But how about you who've never been saved and born again? Will it be as sweet for you? Oh, I hope, my friend, that if you're not saved, you'll listen to the Word of God today and accept God's salvation expressed in His Son. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thine unspeakable gift. We thank Thee for the grace that brought Him forth from heaven to die on the cross for our sin. We thank Thee, Father, for the value and the virtue Thou hast placed upon His finished work at Calvary. And Lord, we're about to read Thy Word today, and Thy Word tells us that it shall not return void. So we pray Thy blessing upon it. Bear Thine arm in the salvation of precious souls wherever Christ is preached today. We'll be careful to give Thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, before we get into the message today, let's listen to our second hymn, and it's entitled, The Savior is Waiting.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time he has waited before, and now he's waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come
I'd like to direct your attention today to one verse of Scripture that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is Paul's letter to the saints in the assembly at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Let me repeat the text. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now friends, the scripture verse I've just read to you today is one of the most contrasting verses found in the word of God. It brings before us both sadness and joy. It reveals the ruin of man and the remedy of God. It speaks of death, and it speaks of life. And friends, it expresses not only the wages of sin, but it also expresses a gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me repeat the text. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now I realize only too well the context in which this portion was written. It was to give encouragement to the saints there in the assembly at Corinth relative to the fact that there was a resurrection. But I would like to apply this text today in the preaching of the gospel. Sinner friend, when our first parents sinned against their Creator God back in the Garden of Eden, a curse was placed upon every child of Adam's race. In Romans 5 and 19 we read, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. Again in Romans 5 and 12, Paul tells us, "Wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So you see, friends, the Bible makes it quite clear that when Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, a spiritual separation took place between him and God. And this curse called spiritual death has been the heritage of every one of us when we were born into this world. We inherited the same sinful Adamic nature of our rebellious parents. And this rebellion in our hearts is the cause of every evil word, thought, and deed which we express. And furthermore, this spiritual separation from God which now exists in the life of every unredeemed sinner will be carried off into eternity unless that sinner accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. That's the reason God's Son told Nicodemus in John 3 and 3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Friend, our natural or physical birth brought us into our parents' family as sinners. We were born with a sinful nature contrary to God. And to be born again, we have to acknowledge that we are sinners, deserving not the least of God's mercy. Then we can trust Christ as our Savior. Then we can accept God's Son as the Lord of our life. Yes, then and only then can we become children of God through faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sinner friend, you can be born again right now if you'll acknowledge that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner in God's sight. And then in simple childlike faith, just place your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. Yes, sinner friend, when God's Son hung on the old rugged cross, he was the just one dying for you and I the unjust, so that he might bring us back to God. He could prophetically declare, "I restored that which I took not away." And I thank God today that Jesus Christ restored the relationship which mankind once had with his Creator God. But friend, don't forget that it cost Jesus Christ his lifeblood. Yet there's enough value to the precious blood of Christ to cleanse the soul of every descendant of Adam's race. Over in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45, we're told that the first Adam was made a living soul. The second Adam, or Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. And every repentant sinner listening to my voice today can be quickened or born again or made spiritually alive in Christ Jesus. And all you have to do is to accept him by faith as your own and personal Savior. You notice the last part of our text, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, tells us practically the same thing. For in Adam all die, even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now friends, you'll notice that we can only have spiritual life in Christ. In Christ. Not in church membership or religious rituals, but rather in a person. In Christ. He himself makes this quite clear in John 14 and 6 when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Again, he tells us in John 10 and 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Then I think of the testimony of St. Peter, who declares in Acts 4 and 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." No, my friend, there's no salvation for the soul. No salvation whatsoever apart from faith in the blood of Christ. And everyone who's ever been saved or born again listening in today, you'll have to admit that the day you were saved, you had to first of all acknowledge your sinnership in God's sight. You had to admit that the Word of God told the truth when it said you were a sinner, when the Word of God said you couldn't do a thing to save your own soul, and when the same Word of God said that Jesus Christ, in love for your soul, died on the old rugged cross. So friend, even though in Adam all die, nevertheless, you can have spiritual life right now, not only now but forevermore, by trusting in the blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now friends, there are many, many advantages to be gained by a person who is in Christ. True, our text tells us that if we're in Christ, we're made alive. But this life we have in Christ is a vital living factor which stimulates our every thought, our speech, as well as our walk. A person doesn't become a child of God to live like a child of the devil, oh no. The Bible tells us that we are partakers of the divine nature, and we are created in Christ Jesus unto all good works. Now friends, you'll notice that good works are the result of being in Christ and not the cause. No, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 makes it quite clear that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you see, if a person has really been saved or born again, the indwelling Holy Spirit of God will bring about new desires, a new tongue, a new heart, and a completely new life entirely. But again, I remind you that this can only come about by the work of the Holy Spirit of God, which dwells within those who are in Christ. In Christ. Now over in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, here's what we read. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or he's been born again. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yes, when a sinner responds to the Holy Spirit of God and is born again spiritually through faith in Jesus Christ, that sinner is a child of God with a willing heart which responds to the desires of his Father God. And let me add, friends, that if there's a professing Christian listening in today who does not have the desire to please God, then you'd better examine yourself. It doesn't sound too good. Perhaps you've been a victim of the devil's delusion. You've got a profession without a possession. Yes, sinner friend, make sure you've got the root of the matter within you. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to allow pride to keep you from the glories of heaven? Well, it's up to you, my friend. God has spoken to your soul today, and now the choice is yours. It's either saved or lost, a child of God or a child of the devil. Yes, it's either heaven or it's hell. You know, friends, I can honestly say today that I'd rather be in Christ than in the White House. And I might add that I believe it would be rather difficult to be both. And I say that with the highest degree and respect for the office of President of the United States. Now that leads us to still another advantage of being saved or in Christ, and that is the fact that we are in Christ when we accept Christ as our Savior, and therefore we have no fear of the torments of hell. Over in Romans 8 and 1, God declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, how I thank God for the fact that I'll never know his terrible wrath. Yes, I'm like the poet who said, the fires of hell I'll never see because the Savior died for me. You know, there's a lot of people today who don't like to hear about sin and death and hell and judgment. They'd rather hear about the abundant life we have in Christ and the glories of heaven. But friends, listen. There's two sides to God's character. He's a God of love, that's true, or I wouldn't be here. But he's also a just and holy God who cannot acquit the guilty. He must punish sin, either on the part of the sinner or else on the part of the sinner's Savior and substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if there was no hell from which to flee, then why did Jesus Christ die? No, he knew that there was a hell, and that's what prompted him to take our sins and to pay the price for our soul's redemption. In John 3 and verse 36 we read, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Again, God declares in Job 36 and verse 18, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then his great ransom cannot deliver thee. Friend, listen. Listen. You out in Radio Land today, you can deny the existence of the hell all you wish, but remember, it will in no way detract from its reality. And furthermore, if you die unsaved, 5 seconds after you die, you'll know then the reality of hell. Well, listen, sinner friend, the greatest hellfire preacher that ever lived was the lowly, the meek, the weeping Nazarene, the preacher of love and righteousness called Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the one who paints for us the verbal picture of a sinner who went to hell over in Luke chapter 16. Yes, 11 times in the original New Testament manuscript, we read of this place called hell, and 10 of those 11 times, this place is referred to by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, friend, there are some preachers in the United States today who haven't mentioned hell 10 times in all the years they've been preaching. Oh, how wonderful it would be if some of you preachers listening in today would get saved. You know, friends, it grieves me when I think of how many people go to church week after week and never hear the truth of God's Word. They're never told that they have to be born again. They're never told that their so-called good works are as filthy rags in God's sight. No, they're never told that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. They're never told that they'll be in hell if they die unsaved. My, what a shock it's going to be for countless millions when they drop into the flames of hell and then to find out that their preacher or priest is down there suffering the wrath of God too. Listen, friend, some time ago a young married woman admitted to me that she had been a Presbyterian church member all her life, and in all the years she listened to her preacher on Sundays, he never once mentioned the fact that she had to be born again. He never once mentioned the fact that Jesus Christ was coming again. And she mentioned that he never once mentioned hell for the Christ rejecter. Well, friends, remember this. Belonging to a church will never save your soul. After all, the pews and the pulpits belong to the church too, but they'll never be saved. No, there must be faith in the blood of Christ. Then a sinner can become a child of God, but not until. Now in closing, there's one more scripture verse I'd draw to your attention today before I leave the air. And this verse likewise tells us of an advantage to be gained by being in Christ. Over in Ephesians 2 and verse 13, here's what we read. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Sinner friend, even though your physical birth as a child of Adam's race made you a rebel creature or sinner and afar off in God's sight, the Bible says that in Christ Jesus you are made nigh to God through faith in the blood of Christ. Well, that's the gospel message, friend. That's the message I have for you today. I should perhaps put it another way. That's the gospel message that God has for you today. Christ died on the cross for our sin according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And if there's an unredeemed sinner listening in today who'd like to be saved or born again and in Christ, then simply acknowledge and repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you'll do that right now, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence again today to thank thee again for thine unspeakable gift. Those of us who are saved today, how we praise thee for the fact that we're found in Christ, where there's therefore now no condemnation. But our God, we believe there are some out in Radio Land today, and they're without Christ. They're without hope. They're without God in the world. They're only a heartbeat from hell. Father, we pray for them today. May thy Holy Spirit, through thy word, bring both conviction and conversion to their soul. Save them before it's eternally too late, for we ask it in the name of him whom thou delightest to honor, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And I hope there's no one listening out in Radio Land today who is almost persuaded to become a Christian. You know, my friend, to be almost persuaded means to be eternally lost. And there are many souls down in hell today who had expected to get saved someday. So please, friend, don't put it off. God says in Genesis 6 and 3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. That zip code is 15134. The address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.